today on Real Radio.
Marriage was not given to us to make us happy. Everybody knows that. Marriage was given to us to make us holy. Marriage is a ministry. Don't get married unless you're willing to pour your life into the life of the other one. Stay home. Don't be ignorant of the Christian life. It's tough, but it ends really well. It ends really good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though the Apostle Peter is older now, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we continue in chapter 2, we'll see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and their ungodly conduct. Now, we'll see how God deals with their deception, and in our future study, we'll discover what sets the character of false teachers apart from those who teach biblical truths. So today, on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are to be aware of how demonic spirits work and the ways that they try to deceive us. False teachers are tools of the enemy, but the more we study the Bible, the less likely we are to fall for Satan's lies. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus says, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Stop right there. Whenever Christ comes back in the second coming, and this has nothing to do with the rapture, Matthew 24 is raptureless. There's no rapture mentioned in Matthew 24. This is all about the second coming, the physical return to Christ, to earth by Christ. He says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. "For as in the days before the flood," that's judgment, "they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." You know what's awesome about that verse? First of all, Jesus Christ himself believed in the great flood of Noah. If you don't, you should change your mind and believe what Jesus said about it. Secondly, it was a global judgment. Are you with me? Jesus warns and says that as the days get closer to his second coming, it's going to mimic the days of Noah. And to read the days of Noah would mean that you'd go to the book of Genesis and read all about that, which is a very good and purposeful study. So mark it down as we get into our first argument for today. What you really need to know, Christian, in these last days is there in verse 4, and it is this. It's that our enemy is not human. Will you write that down? Peter's talking to us about an enemy who is hostile toward you. You say, "Jack, do you really believe this?" Oh yeah, I believe it. The Bible teaches it. Jesus confirms it. Old and New Testament makes account for it. And I have the remarkable privilege and honor and opportunity to be called by God to be a pastor. And I've seen it. You don't want to hear this stuff, but I have seen undeniable, irrefutable, demonic manifestation in people's lives. And some of those things I could mention to you, some of those things I'd rather not, because quite frankly, you wouldn't believe it. The enemy that the Bible says is truly your enemy is invisible. See, as a church, we're just driving down the road and we've read the sign warning danger ahead, and we just think it's falling rocks in a slippery road, when the truth behind it is that there's spiritual powers that are out to destroy your life. And that's what Peter's warning the believers about. So our enemy is not human. Mark it down, verse 4. They are spirit beings. The Bible teaches us in verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, that they are creatures of a spiritual realm. He says here, remarkably, For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, that should stop you right at that comma. The Bible is telling us that angels can sin. Does that surprise you? That ought to surprise you. The Bible says angels have the ability to sin. Pretty soon you'll see why and how it won't surprise you anymore. Not only did they sin, but something happened to them. God cast them down into hell. We're talking about sometime in ancient eons past, where Peter is warning us regarding the condemnation that God exercises, the God of the Bible. Please understand. You say, yeah, that's why I just read the New Testament. It's just love, warm, peace, hug. Might I remind you we're reading 2 Peter right now, chapter 2. No, he's the same God, Old and New Testament. And something happened in the eons of times past when in eternity, angels sinned against God. And whatever they did, he did not, could not, would not tolerate it and cast them into hell. What in the world went on there? If you're a diligent Bible student, if you have multiple translations of the Bible, I think Christians should own all kinds of translations of the Bible. Yeah, you know what? Just stick with the Old King James, New King James, but the ESV is great. NIV is good for Old Testament, not for New. You need to know this stuff. Why? Because when you come across some of your Bibles, look carefully. Some of your Bibles might say in 2 Peter 2, verse 4, since God did not spare the angels. If your Bible says that, it's the same meaning, because I don't want to get too technical on this, but the word if here is a word that is used in the Greek language. Watch this, everybody. You're going to want to make note of this. The word if, or some of your Bibles say since God did not spare, the word implies that the readers know what Peter's talking about. With that little if. You know that commercial that something about, well, everybody knows that. There's some commercial about saving 15% on. And people say, everybody knows that. Did you know that you can save 15% on your insurance? And well, everybody knows that. Listen, 2,000 years ago when Peter wrote this, what we're about to learn about, everybody knew that. I'm going to be teaching the Bible to you in the next few weeks on this topic. You've never even heard of such things. What has become of us? Have we progressed in our biblical knowledge or regressed? I believe we've regressed. It was nothing for his audience of the day to understand that our great warfare as believers is really not against people. As I mentioned last week, it's about the powers behind them. And it's that world of spirit beings, spirit creatures. But Peter's audience, it's assumed that they know this. Biblical ignorance is a great concern. I'm going to go through something. I'm going to ask you, and you ask yourself, write these things down. I'm going to march through several things, and I'm going to be lovingly sarcastic about it. Are you with me, church? The Bible students, get ready. We need to be careful, not only about spiritual beings and understanding what our real opposition is, but the Bible warns us regarding our complacency. Number one, mark it down in your notes. Do not be ignorant about strategies of Satan. Do not be ignorant about the strategies of Satan, so says the Bible. Verse 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not, what's the word? Ignorant of his devices. Mark that down. I deliberately, with sarcasm, ask you this question. Are you ignorant of Satan's devices? The answer to that question is yes, we are. And the Bible tells us you better not be. This is a command. Do not be ignorant of Satan's strategies, devices, schemes. And yet, we are so often suckered right into them. Number two, do not be ignorant about the Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1, 8. Says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul is talking about his ministry team doing God's work, and it got so hard and so difficult that they concluded it's better to be dead than to keep on going. Are we ignorant of the Christian life? I'm going to submit that we are. When we get hit with things of life, or if we're involved, imagine if God called you to a certain calling of ministry or a certain path of your vocation, or how about this? If God called you to be single, then it's going to be rough and hard at being single. Yet God called you to be single. Did God call you to be married? Oh, I need to get married so my life's easy. Oh, you laugh, huh? Don't be ignorant about marriage. Marriage was not given to us to make us happy. Everybody knows that. Marriage was given to us to make us holy. Marriage is a ministry. Don't get married unless you're willing to pour your life into the life of the other one. Stay home. Don't be ignorant of the Christian life. It's tough. Oh, it's hard. But it ends really well. Amen. It ends really good. But I submit to you today that the church at large is ignorant about the Christian life. Thirdly, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Is the church today ignorant about spiritual gifts? Do Christians know? Wow. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant, by the way, means uninformed. It's a willful ignorance. It means that you can learn about something, but you choose not to. So, for example, this ought to get you fired up. I believe in the Bible from cover to cover. When God says in the Bible that these gifts listed are the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the believers and given to the church, I believe in the operation of every single one of those gifts until Jesus comes back for the church. You say, well, I don't believe in all of them. That's okay. That's your thing. You didn't get that from the Bible, though. You got that from maybe some persuasive organization or maybe some pastor that you follow online or some way that you were brought up. Just know this. It's not in the Bible. The Bible teaches what's called the perpetuity of gifts until Christ comes back. The church needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the day of Pentecost until the day the church meets Jesus in the air. And you need to know, as a Christian, what's your gift? Spiritual gift. Your talent. Spiritual talent for the body of Christ. And yet the Bible warns us, don't be ignorant about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we see people today, again, I'm way off base here, but listen up. For example, people today have formed a theology because they witnessed an abuse of the gifts. And I'm going to pick on the most obvious one, the one that bothers everybody. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. People freak about this. Why? Because false doctrine was formed by emotionalism using the Bible to create a doctrine. And there are groups of people that walk around and say, if you don't speak in tongues, you can't be saved, or the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you. That statement is diametrically opposed to the Bible. So said Paul the Apostle. Not everyone has all the gifts. The Bible's very clear and says the Holy Spirit divvies up, distributes gifts to the body of Christ evenly in any given church. Imagine if you go to a church and there's 10 people, or a church if there's 10,000 people, it's the Holy Spirit's job to gift people in those gatherings. Isn't that cool? Not everyone's going to be a pastor. That would be a disaster. Not everyone's going to have the gift of evangelism. Not everyone, but it's broken up perfectly by the will of the Spirit. So you're going to send me, Pastor so-and-so and theologian, thus his face said, I don't care. The Bible says this, and it's going to continue until Christ comes back. But we're ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. I think Satan and all of these things wants us to be ignorant about these important issues. How about this? Don't be ignorant about Israel's place in history and in the future. Romans 11, 25 says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness or the complete wickedness of the Gentiles has come in. That's an awesome verse. God is saying, don't be ignorant in thinking. By the way, listen up. Have you heard of replacement theology? It's from hell. Replacement theology says that God is done with Israel. It doesn't exist anymore. The church takes its place and let's move on. That is absolutely false doctrine. Read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And in this verse, the Bible teaches, which is amazing, according to God, there's a number set only known to God of Gentiles that when the last Gentile is born again, the church is filled as a spiritual entity, and the church is gone from the earth, and then he pours out his Holy Spirit, Joel chapter 2, upon the Jewish people. In that 7 year, that's what that 7 year tribulation period is all about. God's workings with the Jewish people and a Christ rejecting world. Am I boring you? Is this boring you? It's all necessary. What about this? Are we ignorant about the rapture of the church? Now this church isn't, but some people are. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died or fallen asleep, spoken of the body, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And then he goes on to announce how that's going to happen. There's going to be the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo. The word's harpazo in Greek. In Latin, it's raptured up into the air to meet them and Christ in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And yet today, there are so many Christians, you probably know Christians, who either A, have never heard about the rapture, B, they've heard about it but don't believe it, three, they look at it and they can't describe it. They don't even know where to go in the Bible to point it out. Don't be ignorant. And I'm going to throw this one in. This is a bonus ignorant verse. 1 Corinthians 14:38. Don't be ignorant about being ignorant. It's true. Listen to what he says. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know what that word means? This is great. That's a great verse. Somehow that can be used in parenting, right? It means this. To be ignorant is willful. We're not talking about somebody having learning disabilities here. We're talking about somebody who's very capable of knowing and chooses not to. Willful ignorance. And so the Bible says, if you want to willfully be ignorant, then be ignorant. Wow. Do you hear the judgment in that? Hey, Pharaoh. You don't want to let my people go? Then you're not going to let them go. Boom. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in creation. I don't believe in design. I don't believe in spirit beings. You don't want to believe in God? You don't want to believe in spirit beings? You don't want to believe in creation? Boom. Someone once said, everyone gets at least one prayer answered by God. When people say, I don't want to believe in God. Okay, then. God answers their prayer. But we're back, remember? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. If or since God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. So we're going to ask this question. Angels, what is the sin? Angels who sinned, who are these angels? We need to know. The word angel here is what you probably think. It's angels as messengers, divine, or I should say originally divinely created. Friends, make note of this. Listen carefully. God did not create Satan as he is, or demons or fallen angels. God did not create those. The Bible tells us clearly throughout Scripture that God created the angels and they were perfect. We don't know how many there are. We know this, that there are too many to count. We know that they must have been created first before physical creation took place, because the Bible tells us that when God created the physical universe, which you and I know of and observe, it says that the angels sang praise to God on the days of creation. They went, woo, awesome, woo, let's sing a song, that's amazing. And they worshiped God on the day on the days of creation. Those days, the angels did sing the praises of God at creation. But they themselves are created beings. We don't have to, angels have not or will not, have never been eternal. They were created. The word spared here, this is creepy. You ought to circle the word spared. He didn't spare the angels. The word here means, in a negative context, he could not spare them. Whatever they did, the word means he could not forbear. It means that God could not refrain. It means that God could not allow it. And this is going to make sense to you in a moment. I hope so. So, notice this. Whatever they did, because this is a big question. Imagine we're sitting around drinking coffee, talking about these mysterious things of the Bible. What'd they do? What did they do? Whatever they did, he, their creator, could not tolerate it. He immediately had to intervene. Look, they weren't chewing gum in class. Whatever they did, it was a big deal. I wonder if we can find out. Well, before we do, the word cast means that he seized them. The word is violent mean. He violently grabbed them. You can't even imagine this. That God saw something that some angels had done, and he had them seized and grabbed and cast down into hell. What could they have possibly done? And he cast them into hell. This is it. Mark it down. I think it's J. Vernon McGee that says that there are numerous Greek words and Hebrew words for hell. For example, Hades. You heard of that word, right? Sheol, Gehenna, the abyss, or the abuso. This word is Tartarus. They were cast to Tartarus. What is Tartarus? McGee says it's the hellhole of hell itself. It's not just hell. If there's a place in hell that's closer to the flames, it's this hellhole, Tartarus. That's where they go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, "I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king. Yet we've all but forgotten him." This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.